Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And we thank you, Ted Williams, Scott Spears on the air on this Tuesday, April the 28th, 2020, 4/28/2020, last Tuesday in the month of April, 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. And as many of you know, we are still in the middle of this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. And yesterday we got a lot of information from our governor about how the next couple weeks are going to be handled, trying to reopen some things, seeing how things are going to go. There's still a lot of information about the prison here in Marion. It's being written about in a lot of periodicals, a lot of sites all around the country. So to cover all that and continue on this morning, we are so happy to be joined by Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. Tracy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Here we are. The governor speaks yesterday. We were kind of all waiting all weekend to see what this announcement was going to be yesterday. For people who didn't hear it, kind of interpret what he said was going to happen.
He took kind of a phased approach. And so on May 1st, the order is going to lift the ban on medical procedures, dental offices, veterinarians, those healthcare procedures that we ask people to hold off on. Those are going to reopen on May 1st. Then on May 4th, he's going to reopen manufacturing and industry, and then wait until May 12th when more of the retail will open. And then that's kind of where he left it for now. So we'll see what happens after May 12th for the rest of the order.
Now, it's my understanding that the stay-at-home order is in place, still no more, you don't want a group more than 10 people meeting. Do we have any idea when that might change?
We don't. I haven't heard any information about that. I think it will be a while because that's where we kind of get into that trouble of having outbreaks is when we go sort of over that where we have a larger group together.
I think a lot of the confusion yesterday, Tracy, was if we are opening back up certain retail businesses, if we're opening back up office spaces, if we're opening back up construction and so on and so forth, what exactly does the stay-at-home order mean now? Who should be staying at home at this point?
It's our most vulnerable population still that we're trying to protect from COVID. So you know, those are the people who should, even if they're working, should take a look at how they do that, what kind of risk they want to assume from that. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is those areas where it's harder to do any of the social distancing, wearing masks and things like that. So daycares, restaurants, bars, those things will still remain closed.
Does this feel a little scary when these places start to open back up that people might think, hey, well, you know, things are getting back to normal, we're on the downhill slide here, and life can get back to normal?
It does feel scary. It's something that I feel like we have to do because you can't stay inside forever. You can't hide from it forever. We are still in the middle of a pandemic. We will have outbreaks. We will have waves. But you have to balance that between people trying to live you know, some semblance of a life. So so you kind of go back and forth about what's the best thing to do. With everything that's opening right now, though, you can't open unless you're able to social distance, provide hand sanitizer, monitor your employees for symptoms, and everybody should be wearing masks at this point when we start to reopen.
How long do you think that world will last, to where you can only have a certain amount of people together, you have to wear masks if you're going to work, you have to have hand sanitizer, you have to social distance? How long are we going to be stuck in that world with no restaurants as well?
The restaurant part, I'm really not sure about. I think it's going to depend on what happens between now and May 12th. If we open these things back up that we're doing, and if it's going well, and we're not seeing huge spikes in cases, I think we'll start to open a little bit more. But I think the social distancing and wearing masks and things like that are going to last probably a year.
Wow, that's quite a bit of time.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard, you know, and I'm sure as that year progresses, because of just human nature, we're all going to get more and more lax. And so, you know, like I said, when you're in the middle of a pandemic, you're trying to do what you can, but you can't be perfect. You can't do everything. And you are going to have cases. You are going to have deaths. And it's just trying to navigate that the best that we can. With the businesses that have been open, for example, you know, we started with everybody should stay at home, but that's a perfect world situation, and we know that's not, you know, people have to be able to go out, and so then it just becomes for all of us, what risk are we willing to take? Where do we want to go, and it's worth the risk for us? Are we, you know, younger and healthier? Maybe we take more risks than somebody who has a compromised immune system. So over the course of the year, we're all going to be weighing those options and trying to decide, you know, is it worth me to go to the mall right now, or should I stay home and continue to you know, protect myself?
Tracy, obviously last week we learned that schools were not going to reopen this year. That affects a lot of the seniors in Marion County. And last Friday we had the Friday Night Lights event scheduled for the seniors in Marion County. And a lot of folderol was made about this because it had happened in other communities. And people were going to be in cars, and it got canceled here. And a lot of people got bent out of shape about that. What happened there?
I wish that it hadn't happened the way it did, but we didn't have a lot of the information about what was going to happen. Our police and our sheriff were very concerned because they had talked to other law enforcement around the state who had had these events, and they had a lot of trouble with people getting out of their cars, with the kids congregating, you know, hugging each other, taking pictures, and once sort of the cork was off the bottle, it was really hard to get it back in. So with our, you know, we're small, our sheriff and police are small, and they don't have a lot of PPE, so we didn't want to risk their health and safety or anybody else's by having those events. So it was a lot of conversation between the health department, the police, the sheriff, the prosecutor's office. And, you know, the order still says that we can't travel for non-essential reasons. It still says we can't hold parades and things like that. So, you know, even if other communities let it happen, it was still a violation of the order. And when it came down to it, you know, and our prosecutor had a good point, he said, we're sworn to uphold the law. And that's whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not. So when you combine that with, you know, not wanting to see our police and sheriff putting in a vulnerable position, you know, the decision was clear, but it was definitely difficult.
And the health department took the brunt of this, but this was a group effort between the prosecutor, sheriff, police department, because I'm sure, as you know, you guys kind of took the brunt of this all over the place.
We did. Yes, we did, definitely.
So, but it was definitely not just your decision. It was a lot of consulting that went on.
Yeah, it really was, you know, and people still need to realize, I feel like it's becoming kind of normal that we had that, you know, our big outbreak, and yes, the majority of them are inmates, But when you take that out, we're still, you know, we have 121 community cases as of yesterday. That's only 20-some behind Delaware. And look at how much bigger Delaware's population is than ours. So we're still in one of the highest outbreaks in the state, and we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect our, you know, everybody. And nobody would want to see an event like that happen and then have a death or something that can be attributed back to it.
Tracy, one more question on this, because the thing I kept hearing last week was, you know, that event got canceled, the Friday Night Lights event got canceled, but people were allowed to protest what was going on at the prison. Can you explain why that was allowed and what the differences are in that situation?
Yeah, so the stay-at-home order is a governor's and Ohio Department of Health directive, but it does not trump your right to free speech. That's a constitutional right that can't be taken away from the people by the governor's order. And so he has said all along, he had protesters, you know, at the state house there, that there's not really a lot we can do to stop that. I wish that those events, though I understand they have the right to free speech, you know, in a time like this, it's very scary to do that. And so in those situations where we really don't have a legal ability to stop them, we, you know, the first responders, the health department, we all just kind of have to hold our breath and hope that, you know, they're doing it responsibly, that they're distancing and wearing their masks and things like that. But we don't have a lot of authority or power to stop those things.
I want to talk about the prison here, Tracy. What are the numbers like there now? Now, because of the prison, the numbers at the prison were appearing in, boy, big national newspapers, I believe, right now. It's my understanding the percentages versus the population were number one at this point. Is that correct? It's an awful thing.
Yeah. It's a terrible thing, and we are number one. And so at the end of the day, yesterday, we had 2,188 total cases. 121 of those were community cases. So the rest were obviously inmates. We are still getting cases of inmates that trickle in that weren't tested in that big group. So it is continuing to rise a little bit. We have to see how this is going to unfold for us as a community and how much spread is going to continue to go out into Marion from the prison. You know, the workers are still going in there and working, so they're going to continue to bring it back home with them. So, you know, we have to be vigilant about, you know, that we are kind of an epicenter in Ohio right now, and that even if you don't know somebody that works at the prison, that, you know, this is highly contagious and it can still, you know, trickle itself out and ripple out into the community in ways that we're not sure about yet.
Well, and that's a big worry right now. Our numbers are growing. I mean, I guess there's really no way to know, but do you think it has something to do with the prison at this point?
I do. Over half of those cases are related to the MCI outbreak. So it's definitely a driving force of our numbers right now. But we do see cases from other places as well, you know, so that aren't related to the prison. So we're still seeing that community spread. It can't all be attributed back to that one outbreak, but certainly a lot of it can. And, you know, with people being asymptomatic carriers, you know, the families of the guards who haven't tested positive yet can still go to work and things like that. And so, you know, it's definitely something that we think about every day, every night. You know, how is this going to continue to impact us over the next few weeks?
We now have had prisoners die who, you know, it's awful anytime anybody dies. What is this? Are we getting a handle on it? Are you hearing things that maybe this will get better? Are there things being done inside the prison that are going to stop this from happening? Are people being treated? What's going on there?
Well, they're trying really hard to contain it to certain units. And so...
Hi, can I help you?
I'm on the radio. Okay. So we're trying to contain it to certain units inside the prison and keep the inmates separate that aren't involved in the outbreak. But those deaths and things are going to continue to come because it takes 3 to 6 weeks, you know, after you're contagious, if people are going to start to deteriorate, it takes a long time. So I think we're going to see more deaths over the next few weeks. Most of those are handled by Ohio State University's hospital. So we're not really seeing a lot of that here in Marion.
And what should we look for as this change happens next Monday, as we go into the month of May with warmer weather, as we have the prison out there still having problems? What should we expect to see here in Marion?
I think we're going to continue to see new cases. And I think that we might see a spike, you know, because more people are going to be out, more people are going to be going to work, things like that. I would expect us to see even some more deaths over the next couple of weeks. And then, kind of wait and see what happens after May 12th. Did this work the way that he opened things up? Did it cause an outbreak? And then readjust May 12th, kind of moving forward.
Tracy, just two more things here real quick before we let you go. Just to reiterate, what are the numbers outside of the prison in Marion at this point?
As of yesterday, we had 121 community cases.
And when it comes to people in the hospital for this, opposed to people recuperating at home, do we know those numbers?
You know what? I don't have those numbers memorized right now. I'm sorry, but if you go to the coronavirus.ohio.gov, you can see them there. We're trying to develop a new system with the hospital to where we can see cases in real time and not have to, kind of rely on them to report to us. So hopefully in the next week or so, we're going to get that worked out and we can have our information better about who's hospitalized, who's gone home, that kind of thing. So we're kind of trying to work on this data as we have time, between getting all these thousands of cases all at once. As we're starting to sort through those and get a handle on it, we're hoping to be able to, provide better information on what's going on in the hospitals and things like that.
And I guess the final question is, Tracy, and I guess this is a great thing at this point, and who knows what will happen, but outside of the prison, in the 6 weeks that this has been going on, we have only had one death here in Marion. What do you attribute that to, that our number has been low in that department?
I think, I hate to say luck, but we have had some cases that we were really concerned about. What was going to happen to them, and they ended up, kind of perking up. But we do have some people that have been hospitalized for quite a while. So hoping that they perk up as well and can get off the ventilator and things. But I think, they didn't really know how many people this was going to be fatal for. They had estimates and ideas, but they weren't exactly sure. So we're seeing a lower than normal death rate right now, which is a good thing.
Absolutely. Tracy Kinsler, Marion Public Health Commissioner. Thank you, Tracy, so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, there's a lot of interesting information because we had a big discussion on this program last Friday about this whole Friday Night Lights event. And I believe I said at the time, and it's not in defense of anybody, I highly doubted that Tracy and the health department would make that decision to cancel that event on their own without consulting with other groups. And apparently in this particular situation, there was consulting that went on with the sheriff's department, the police department, and the prosecutor, I believe is what she said. So there were a lot of people here in Marion dealing with that. And also, when you look at it, I guess the stay-at-home order does not allow people to congregate like that. Now, yes, it did happen in other counties, but I guess in other counties, people were getting out of their cars, according to Tracy. And, whether you still believe in it or don't believe in it or think it was right or don't think it was right, at least now you know what happened leading up to last Friday's Friday Night Lights event. At least we have why that decision was made and you know, it's awful. I mean, I think we all feel awful for the seniors. I don't think anybody doesn't. But I think at this point, we do have to concentrate on how are we going to have them graduate in somewhat normalcy, receive their diplomas so their parents can, grandparents and families can watch this. What are graduation parties going to look like? Are those going to happen? Is there going to be any form or fashion of any kind of a prom? You know, I think these are things that we're going to have to see as time goes on. And at this point, I don't think any of us have the answers. But would anybody like to comment on this? Phone lines are open. I know we had a lot of comments on the Friday Night Lights thing last week, and now that you know what the answer is, feel free to give me a call. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Very, very interesting stuff to learn. But you know, we learn together, we go ahead together, and that's how it happens. Now, yesterday on this program, and I know this is a little premature at this point, but I felt that as we get a little warmer, as the weather gets a little better, as we go a little further in time, that I'm starting to look toward Memorial Day, because every Memorial Day I have this little event at my house where people come over, and some from the radio station, some family, some otherwise. And yesterday we added a few people to that guest list, which is, it's going to be a lot of fun. But, and we were talking about, how are people going to do this on Memorial Day? How are people going to do this on a high school graduation time? You know, and you know, I'm sure there are some marriages planned somewhere along the line. Are people getting married? There are a lot of May marriages, a lot of Memorial Day marriages. Matter of fact, that's a good time to get married, somewhere around Memorial Day. That's where I think you should get married, somewhere around Memorial Day, because that's interesting symbolism. That's interesting symbolism for marriage, as far as I'm concerned. Get married around Memorial Day. And I only say this to this degree. The one time that I was engaged, to be honest with you, if I remember back on it and if I remember right on it, I think we were planning on a marriage, I believe it was in May. So, you know, it didn't happen. And maybe it was a good thing because it was in the Memorial Day month, which could explain a lot. But I'm glad we cleared up the Friday Night Lights thing. I'm glad we got through that. And I'm glad Tracy was able to come on and explain that, because a lot of people had a lot of questions about that were ongoing. And it's still horrible what's going on in the prison. But when you see this information on national media, and you see this information, yesterday people were sending around the New York Times article that in the United States, percentage-wise, we had the highest percentage of people affected with COVID-19 population versus infection, that it is because of the prison. It's not because of the people in the city. You know, in the city and county here, we're only looking at a little over 100. But I'm just so glad we finally got through that Friday Night Lights controversy, and that it was the prosecutor, the sheriff, the police department who had consulted Tracy and said, you know, I don't think this is a good idea, because when it's happened in other counties, people have gotten out of their cars. And that's that, and the way it goes. Joining us in studio today, Terry Tackett for day number two. Always a pleasure to have him in today. Tracy, how are you? Terry, let's call you Tracy.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's one of those mornings.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I'm doing great. How's everybody doing?
Doing good. Did you hear the interview with Tracy Kinsler?
I did. I've been stuck in a line for...
the whole thing simply is, you know, here we go. We're going to open up some things. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of restrictions still there. There's face masks. There's test your temperature when you go in. There's try to keep everybody 6 feet apart. And we're not opening up the hair salons, and we're not opening up certain places. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I seen that yesterday on one of the websites. I seen where they, you know, put the list on there still of the thing. And it said also, too, he's still encouraging people, if you can work from home, to work from home then.
Yeah, still encouraging people to work from home, but I don't know how that's going to go with office spaces, because office spaces are apparently, as of next Monday, May the 4th, allowed to go back.
Back to work, yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be going to be interesting.
It is going to be interesting. And I think if all these places that have stayed open anyway, are they going to start giving people face masks all of a sudden or whatever?
I know a guy made a good point to me. He said, we can put 500 people in Walmart, but I can't put 50 on the patio for a restaurant.
Well, I don't know that that's a good point. I'll tell you why. This is not a good point to me. Because Walmart, the only reason Walmart in this town is allowed to function as they are is because they also function as a grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And if they were not functioning as a grocery store, they would not be allowed to do that. You cannot close the grocery stores. A matter of fact, when this all started, when they were closing things left, right, and sideways, people were absolutely panicked that they were going to close the grocery store. People went in and mass bought. They bought all the toilet paper. At one point, they bought all the meat off the shelves. They bought all the milk because they thought people were going to close the grocery stores. You can't do that. You can't, no matter what you're under, you cannot close how people get their food. Eating out's different. Eating out is not a necessity. Now, it's nice that they've let them stay open carry out wise, but that's not a necessity. So to put 50 people on a patio, that is not a necessity. You don't have to do that. That's a party. Now, grocery stores are different. And first of all, if you left all the restaurants open and you let people go out and party on patios and do things like that, it would overwhelm police departments all over this country because they can't go around and make sure that every restaurant in town is social distancing and is having people wear masks and all their employees are wearing masks and are they taking the proper precautions in the kitchen and so on and so forth. I don't think the restaurants would be a good idea at this point. But you can't close the grocery store. You would panic people. You want to see panic. That would be panic.
Mm. I don't understand. I mean, I don't know. I would think if you had some sort of meetings or something with them ahead of time and said, look, you know, maybe pull your tables 10 to 15 feet apart.
But is that going to last?
Yeah.
That's what I say. There's no way, because you can't say certain restaurants can open. So you're going to, in Marion, I don't know how many restaurants we have, but we have a lot. There's no way that the police department could police that. And I imagine they would be swarmed with the health department with complaints if people weren't doing it. I don't know. Listen, I want the restaurants to do well. I want them to make money. I don't want them to go out of business. But I also don't think that this is a necessity in life.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, definitely it's not an essential a necessity, but just a point that I kind of thought about. It makes sense. I mean, you know.
Well, I know everybody compares everything to the grocery store. So what is it people want to do? Do they want to close the grocery store? I mean, is that what they want to do?
I think his point was, if it's good for them, why is it not good for, you know?
Well, just for the reason I said.
Yeah.
Do you want to close the grocery store?
But, I mean, you know, obviously, if you look around those people in there, they're not social distancing. They're not.
No, they're not. But that's what I'm saying again. Is that what we want to do? Do we want to say that people aren't social distancing in the grocery store, so let's shut them down?
No.
So
But I mean, if they're not social distancing, then why would it hurt if, you know, I mean, that's what his point, you know.
Right. But I think it's a convoluted point because I think the people would like to shut down the grocery stores. I don't think they want people close together like that. But it's just that a grocery store can't be shut down. A restaurant can, and people will function quite nicely. Mm-hmm. They have.
Yeah.
But you shut the grocery down and then try to watch people function. It's not going to be so pretty. I mean, do you think you could shut down the grocery stores?
No, I'm not. I don't think anybody's ever implied that. I think he was talking about equality is all.
Right, but I don't think a grocery store and a restaurant are the same thing.
I mean, as far as, you know, like you say, if you're not going to police social distancing there, why is it a big deal here? You know, I mean.
Well, I think it's for the same reason that, again, I think they would like to shut down grocery stores. I think they would like to make sure everybody social distances. I think they would like for that to happen in grocery stores. You just can't control it when you're in that type of an atmosphere.
You know, like also, too, in my business, I mean, they let, you know, hundreds of people in, like, you know, do you really need, like, you know, home improvement? I mean, with a stay-home order? I mean,
I think the problem, again, is that restaurants, people sit close. Not a lot of restaurants have the space to social distance. I think there's an idea about employees. What are they going to do? You know, they cook your food. They're right over top of it. I think it's just, it's apples and oranges to try to compare the two, because obviously they shut down the hair salons, and that has nothing to do with food.
Right.
That had more to do with, again, getting a lot of people in a confined area. And I don't think they want the grocery stores to have a lot of people in a confined area. Matter of fact, I don't know a grocery store in this town right now that doesn't have the things on the floor to where you're supposed to stand. They're trying to practice the social distancing. They're trying to do it. And now a lot of stores are mandated to wear masks. They did limit the hours that grocery stores could be open. They couldn't be 24-hour stores anymore. So grocery stores felt the burden of this as well.
Well, like, you know, I know our sign says 575 people. I mean, that's, you know, what's, you can't tell me that all those 575 people are social distancing.
Well, I guess it's just, you can't shut down the world. So you do have to decide what is essential and what is not.
Yeah, oh, I've been making that argument for, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, you're exactly right. I've been making that argument ever since this thing started. But, you know, I guess, like I say, now I see where we're at. If we're opening up thing, I mean, you know, it just kind of made a little sense. I mean, it.
Well, I think they're opening up construction. I think they're opening up
anything that doesn't offices. Require an overnight stay in the hospital,
you can do that. Well, and I think
dental something?
Dental surgeries, things like that. But the thing about it to me is that Tracy made an interesting point there. Because last week the big thing was made, how can you shut down the Friday Night Lights thing for the seniors but still allow people to protest at the prison? Well, she told us exactly why that was. Because the Friday Night Lights thing was an event that was being put on by schools. Mm-hmm. And the sheriff and the police department and the prosecutor all said, we don't think this is a good idea. We think this is in violation of the stay-at-home order as it reads. Don't do it. But nothing trumps civil liberties. And unfortunately, freedom of speech and freedom to assemble are in the Constitution. And that's why they are allowed to protest.
Hmm. Wow.
Now, what we probably wish you didn't, but you are. You're allowed to protest.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. And again, that's, I think people were comparing apples and oranges. You're talking about people protesting, which is a civil liberty that you cannot take away. You can't take somebody, you cannot take people's constitutional rights away. So, yeah, they're allowed to protest. But an event being put on by the school is like a basketball game. You can stop those events from happening. That's not freedom of speech. That's a school-sponsored event. You know, just like if you put on a basketball game. Basketball is not freedom of speech.
What if all those people that were doing the Friday Night Lights, what if they all decided to go get ice cream? Is that a violation of the stay at home?
Nope. You can do what you want.
Sponsored by the school?
I don't think the school
said, you know, we'll pay for everybody's ice cream, you know. And
I guess they could if they wanted to. I think the idea of
going to get an ice cream is not a stay at home or violation, but
I think we're trying to go down a rabbit hole here, though, because that's trying to avoid the issue. The issue is this is a planned event that goes on every year, much like a basketball game or a football game or anything like that. They could have done it, I guess. They could have been in violation if they wanted to.
Go ahead, caller.
Okay, two schools, Pleasant and River Valley, did have their lights on, and a ponderous thought, if the students would have gotten out of the cars with placards protesting, they would have been okay? Just a thought.
I think school is private property, and I don't think you are allowed to protest on private property.
Well, if they would have been across the street from the school, like they out of the prison.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would have stopped that.
So the students could have protested the edict and been okay.
Sure.
Just a thought.
Well, no, I mean, I think yeah, it people could protest no football if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But you cannot, for private business or private entity, hold an event. You can't say, come here and watch this. You can't do that. That's the difference.
But I don't know that it was an event. I think it was just two schools put their lights on in the stadium.
Well, I, you know, I guess they could have done it and see what happens.
Well, they did, but I don't know anything adverse happened.
Right, and that's why I say I don't know how this got blown out, and I don't know why the health department took the brunt, because obviously we learned this morning that the prosecutor, the sheriff, and the police department are the ones who instructed her that we don't know if this is a good idea.
Yeah. I also found it curious that for 5 or 6 weeks we didn't know what was going on at the prison, but all of a sudden she had some good information about what was going on in the prison, so maybe the prison is cooperating, or Tracy found somebody that could explain what's going on out there for her.
I don't, you know, I know the state is only gives you what they want you to know.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's okay. Interesting. Thank you. Bye. But you know, I mean, yes, I get what everybody's saying. I'm not denying what everybody's saying, but I'm saying if I want to protest something, I can go out and do that. That is my freedom of speech, because that's putting me in harm's way, and I'm making that decision. Nobody can force me to go out and protest. It's my choice to go out and protest something. So that's on me if I get sick or hurt. If an event is being put on like a football game or a basketball game, that's not me. That's, you know, that's them. They've put on that event. They're inviting me. They're saying it's open to the public. It's different. Now, if you want to stand outside and protest the fact that that event was not going on, I'm sure nobody would have done anything.
Interesting.
I think people right now are just upset, and they're trying to kind of over and underlay everything. I don't know. I'm sorry for the seniors. I wish it didn't happen. I wish we weren't in the middle of this thing. I think everybody does. I feel the same way about the restaurant owners. I wish that wasn't going on. But at some point, you've got to decide what is essential, what is not. What can we get by with? What can't we get by with? What can we do? You know, it's interesting to me that people are complaining about these events, and I understand that. But yet, we're also the first to share that we're number one in the country. We're also the first to share that the prison has all these outbreaks. We're also the first to say, oh my God, isn't that awful? Well, you know, do we want to cause more issue? I don't know. I just, at this point, I don't think we do want to cause more issue. You know, if we have the grocery stores open, why open more stuff? It's just logical that the more stuff that's open, the more chance you're going to have.
I've been saying that from... That's why I thought when this thing all first came about the middle of March, I was an advocate for 3 weeks of just be giving everybody enough to survive.
But you and I also saw firsthand what happened when they closed the restaurants and they closed the schools.
Oh, yeah.
You could not buy meat in a grocery store. You could not buy toilet paper. You could not buy milk. You could not buy, what else was sold out?
Like wipes.
Medicines, wipes.
Yeah.
Bread was sold out at one point. Yeah. You could not buy it in Marion, Ohio. Now, why did that happen? Panic.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next thing they're going to do is close the grocery stores. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen when you close a restaurant. That doesn't happen when you close a hair salon. That doesn't happen when you close an office space. But it certainly does when you... And nobody even said we were closing the grocery stores. It just freaked people out.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's why I tried to listen to all those, all those press conferences, but I never got that impression at all that we were going to close the grocery stores, but...
People
like
did.
Say, what I, you know, the impression I got on the very first one was that what they wanted to do was just give everybody, you know, like, I think at one point they discussed a $500 gift card or something to get everybody through 3 weeks, just have nothing but first responders for 3 weeks, and then just... So then come April 1st, we'd be ready to go. And
well, I think we'll learn when it's over what was done right and what was done wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that everything was done right, but I do know that there were a lot of things in the beginning that people were not for that all of a sudden they became for after people started getting sick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know. I mean, myself included. You know, but I think right from the start, I think DeWine's done a great job. I mean, you know. He's really gotten on top of this thing.
Well, I think he was one of the first in the country who really started to shut things down, but boy, people didn't like that.
Mm-mm.
At the time.
Like I say, I was a little skeptical about it, but boy, he just kind of...
It's an interesting thing to talk about, and I understand why people are angry. I have no doubt why people are angry. If you own a restaurant, yeah, you're going to be upset. If you have a senior, yeah, you're going to be upset that these things are going on. But, you know, decisions have to be made.
Yeah.
And sometimes the decisions are not always popular.
Right, right, right. I mean, so is life, you know. I mean,
such is life, and that's just the way it goes. And I feel bad. But I also, you know, if you want to do something, I guess do it. Do it at your own peril. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think it's maybe medically safe, but what can you do?
At this point, you know.
I don't know. To me, it's one of those things where there's going to be a lot of hard feeling because of where this happened.
Right.
Because it happened right at the end of the school year. It happened in the way of seniors. It happened in the way of a lot of people who are small business restaurant owners and small businesses in general, and it's going to be rough.
Yeah, there's going to be a big divide, I think, between...
There certainly is. But I think that... I think we've obviously done something right because the curve is not nearly as high as it was supposed to be.
Right. I've checked every day, and I don't even know... Maybe I say that. Gosh, I'm contradicting myself here. Phrase it this way. The other day, I haven't checked recently, but as of a couple of days ago, we weren't even at 1,000... Are we at 1,000...
You know, I'm not sure, but I know it's much better than it was.
We were like 750, you know, out of 14,000 cases, I think it was.
And I guess we just hope opening up these places does not cause that number to go up. If it does, then we're going to have to go back and relook at everything.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. Didn't it say something about we reserve the right to do that, too? I mean, you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. That's what.
And I think that's what this opening in processions is all about. Because I think you'll try something and see if that works, and then you'll try something and you'll see if that works, and then we'll see where we are at the end. But again, I certainly understand the plight of people who have seniors. I certainly understand the plight of a small business, but I also understand that I don't think anybody's making these decisions, you know, dictatorially and just saying, but that's how it was treated last Friday.
Yeah.
You know, the health department made that decision. And why would they do that and blah, blah, blah. But, well, now we know why. You know, they consulted with about everybody in town who knew something about the law and who knew something about what policing that event would be like, and those people were not in favor of it. So what do you do? What do you do when the sheriff and the police department and the prosecutor comes to you and says, listen, under this order, this is not legal. We don't have the power to police all of this. Well, what do you do when they come to you and say that?
Kind of ties your hands a little bit, you know, or whatever.
And then you take the brunt.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way it goes. 57 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. It's an interesting world and an interesting topic to discuss.
It is.
And I don't know what will happen.
Well, I hate to... I think it's one of those things that you're never going to be right. Like, your side's, you know, this side's never going to be, and this side's never going to be.
No, it's become almost like politics now where, you know, let's just argue and nobody has the right answer. And
right.
We'll go on till the end of time with it. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question that I've been thinking about. Is everything... how's things at NCCI, which is different than MCI? And again, how about the Women's Reformatory in Marysville? How's things at Marysville?
You know, it's a good question. I really don't know what the numbers look like in those places.
Are those the private ones, or are they?
I think they're policed by the state somewhat, aren't they?
The one is private owned.
Right, but I don't think the Marysville prison is private owned, is it?
No, but I don't ever hear anything about that. And, I mean, thank God. But all I hear is, you know, what's going on out here. And I think that probably it makes Marion really look bad. And you don't ever see how many cases there are in Marion or in Union County. They never have that on the screen. So I was just curious. Find this information out, and I'll be listening.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Well, my guess would be is probably We had,
I would like the data from the private owned prison and the state prison, you know, to see that she's right. I'd like to see those cases in the private, to see how many, if the private prison has as many cases, you know.
Well, I, you know, here's the thing of it. I think one of the problems was we just had an awful case in Marion. We, I mean, we had somebody who came in with an illness, and it, that did not bode well. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller.
Just a quick clarification for the lady who called in. If she goes on the state COVID Ohio Health website, there is a link to the different prisons, and it spells it all out as to who has how many cases. And I'm sure the ladies' reformatory in Marysville is part of that.
But
and
it,
then
it
another
does,
part of that is the Union County, too.
Does it have? It doesn't list the privately owned prisons, though, right?
I don't know. I don't remember. I haven't looked at it since last Friday.
So, that, so do we know? Have you had a chance to look and see what Marysville had?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But I know they list all the counties on one of the sites, and then all of the prisons on another site. But you're right. I don't think private prisons like the one in Youngstown or the one on in Marion are listed. But I don't know that as a fact. But you can fact check it by going on the
Okay.
Ohio Health COVID website.
All right. Sounds
Thanks.
Good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye.
And we got to go to break. We'll be back after this.
We didn't. That's the question. You don't know it, evidently,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I have a prize. I'm hungry.
Oh,
you're hungry?
Well,
there's donuts. There's
no,
a whole box
no,
of.
No, no, no.
There's orange juice. There's coffee.
I got a friend out.
There's
oh.
a.
I bring her a. She's
there's a T-bone steak and.
Charlie, you know what you're gonna get? Five fingers.
Well. We can give you a delivery
yeah,
to take out to your friend,
yeah.
And we have the question, so you don't know it, right? You don't know. But I wish people would give them a really big hint
okay,
so they'll call
see.
It.
Let's see. It's not Sandusky.
Yes, it is.
Holy
Uh-oh.
Okay, you win a prize.
Is there a seven-second delay around here?
Oh, no.
No, you're right. Yeah.
She won a prize.
Didn't you ever notice when you go to Cedar Point, you pass a company that says Crayola on it? Or crayon?
Oh,
American Crayon
on
Company?
Four?
Yeah.
On four.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh my, I didn't mean to say that.
Anything can happen on WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Search for us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Esther at Community Christian Fellowship